Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. First off, I hope everyone had a nice weekend. It's Sunday afternoon, about 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And of course, this is the weekend newsletter from Breakpoint Trades. So if you happen to be new here, these weekend newsletters tend to be quite comprehensive as we go over things in a lot more detail and bigger picture, plus a lot of admin comments. So guys, if you look at the table of contents at the top, you can see I have quite a bit of text here. So before we get into the newsletter, I'm going to go over the SPY and ES systems. As you know, I've been showing you some data on that for the last several weeks. I've been working on a big options data, and I want to give you an update on that. Okay. Now, regarding the general market, obviously, nothing changed. The trend remains strongly to the upside, okay? Otherwise, in the very short term, earnings season's winding down, which has historically pushed the market higher. And that's exactly what we've seen this time, all right? Market's done well this earnings season, okay? I will say in the very short term, the VIX is near its lower Bollinger Bands, and that has typically offered support historically. So be aware of that. Also, the CNN Greed Fear Index is at 91%. That's quite extreme. Be aware of that. Another comment I want to make, if you look at the table of contents, the precious metals. I think we've been spot on that this year. You know, we were very bullish on that back in May, June, even July. But then we started getting quite bearish in August, early September. One thing we pointed out was the commercial net short was at extreme levels, was like the third highest in history. You know, things were lopsided. You had too many large speculators long, too much commercial net short, well in the upper 300s, I think around mid 300s. And those are extreme levels. And, you know, even though that market's had a pullback, that data has worked off very slowly. So it's still lopsided. And we said, you know, we don't think really a gold can bottom until that works its way off. And that's been the case here. So hopefully you guys listen to us. You know, that sector continues to, precious metal sector continues to work lower. And I think it could go lower still, which is a good thing, because once this washes out, I think we'll have another good long opportunity. Okay? So without further ado, let's go ahead and move on to the systems. So the first image below, item number two, this is directly from the website in the systems area. This is from the SPY Pro High Probability Systems. This shows you the live trades that were called out this year since early May. And many of you participated in these trades. As you know, systems have done well. In fact, if you took all the trades here, you'd be up like $15,000, basically enough to pay for the website, you know, for around 23 years. That's a perspective I like to look at it. But SPY system has been flat, actually, since early October. And, you know, one thing I've been doing, I've been looking at possibly adding my ES system along with it, which is very similar to the SPY system. In fact, it's the same system, it's just on the ES instrument. But because it's a different instrument, you do get some different trades. Get a lot of overlap, obviously, but you know, a lot of times, you know, say for the breakout trade goes long, if they both go long, you know, maybe it'll exit better on the SPY or worse on the SPY. So I think it's better to trade both the ES and SPY system. Kind of gives you better opportunities. And in fact, the ES system went long a couple weeks ago while the SPY system missed that. And it currently has a nice trade going on. So that's a kind of a real-time example. But I've also had questions from you guys. Hey, you know, this, I like the format you've been doing on with the new SPY system, but how much percent gain could I make in a year? You know, how much capital do I need to trade options? Things like that. And so that's what I've been working on, historical data. So we'll go over that below. And I think the results are pretty cool. So let's move on to the next image. Image number three below. So this shows you the breakout subsystem. Remember, there's 20 different subsystems, longs and shorts. This is one of the subsystems, the breakout system. And it does what you think. It buys when the market is pushing higher, looks for higher prices. It's not a reversion to mean subsystem that buys pullbacks or shorts rallies. It buys overbought conditions. Okay. So as I stated, the product that I may bring to Breakpoint Trades is I may go ahead and bring the ES systems signals to the website along with the SPY. So we'd have, instead of just the SPY Pro high probability systems, we'd have the SPY and ES high probability systems. Okay. But anyway, what I'm trying to show you in this example here is SPY at the top. That's the breakout subsystem on SPY. You could see it missed this last rally. It's currently flat. But if you look at the bottom, the ES instrument, which again is 99.9% correlated with SPY, it went long. It caught a trade. It went long on October 28th there. You can see the little arrow. So it's been long here for a couple weeks, been catching this rally. And that's an example of why I think it's better to trade both the ES and SPY systems. Because, you know, again, once in a while, you know, SPY might miss a trade, or ES might miss a trade, or SPY might do better on a trade, or ES might do better. When you trade them both, you get that nice, you know, averages everything out well. And I think it helps the odds. And in fact, the ES system's actually done better on the breakout, as you can see. You know, the SPY system breakout version had a losing trade there in September, whereas the ES breakout totally avoided that trade. Again, it's not always the case. Sometimes the SPY breakout does better. But this is an example. There's an open trade on the ES breakout system, and it's been doing well. Next, image number four below. This table shows you the current open trade on the ES breakout system. As you know, the SPY breakout missed the trade. So I'm just showing you how the trade looks here. So again, the breakout would have went long for the ES subsystem on October 28th. We do two contracts on the website. And it would be up about just over 19%. Now, what I'm showing you here is the price difference between SPY and SPX. So the SPY option, you can see the price is $917. To buy two of them would be about $1,834 capital needed. For the equivalent SPX option, two of them, you would need they were trading at $85.40. You would need just over $17,000 of capital. So about 9.3 to 9.5 times the capital needed to trade the equivalent SPX options. Okay. So that's why I'm doing SPY options, or why we'll be doing SPY options for the combined system here. So I hope that gives you an example. But you can see the current trade would be up over 19%. And, you know, it'd be nice because we'd all be in a long here on the website. You know, the SPY breakout missed the trade while the ES version caught it. Anyway, let's move to the next slide. Next. So image number five below, this large image shows you basically the combined systems on both ES and SPY. You know, on the website, we've been trading SPY up to now. This shows you ES as well. So the two charts on the left, the upper one is ES, says longs combo. Basically, I have a bunch of long subsystems on one chart. Below that is SPY. Okay, again, you could see a lot of similar trades, but not exactly. A little different. We have two charts in the middle where I have all the shorts for both the ES and SPY on. A couple CCI subsystems on the right, which I don't have on the combo systems on the left. A trend pullback system on the bottom for SPY. So basically, you have these charts here. Whenever one of these do a trade, I do the trade in the hedge fund via the options, and would plan to do this for the website as well. There will be times when there's quite a bit of overlap when the market, say, is in extreme oversold conditions. Okay, but to me, this is basically the format. You know, we've been following this format already with SPY, but we'd be adding the ES equivalent. Next. Image number six below. So this is probably what you've been waiting for. This table shows you this the statistics, that I've come up with so far. So I've already showed you some statistics with SPX options. Okay. I've had a lot of questions about SPY options, which is what we're going to be using for the website. Okay. We're going to be using SPX options for the hedge fund. All right. But here's basically the model. So, for the website, number of contracts, first entries, we're going to use one contract, just like we've been doing on the website already. Two contracts for a second entry, three for a third, four for a fourth, five for a fifth. Now, as far as the fifth entry, guys, really only one subsystem could do that. That's the trend pullback system. Okay. All right. All the other systems can only have up to three or four. All right. The breakout system can only have two entries. Okay. It cannot have more than two entries and it will stop out. So for that system, we actually double up. We use two contracts for the first entry, four for the second. You see that? Now, as far as deltas, typically for the first entries, I'm using a 60 to 70 delta. Okay. For second entries, anywhere from a 50 to a 60 delta. Okay. And then like, you know, some of the systems that could do deeper pullbacks, like third, fourth entries, we go down in delta, you know, to 30s, 40s, et cetera, to get more bang for our buck, okay? Now, so here's what I've done with this. You know, some of you have asked me for SPY, what would the needed capital be to trade both the ES and SPY systems like this? So I modeled $20,000. If you look at the top, it says $20,000 account size, no compounding, okay? So if you look here, I'm showing years from 2014 to 2019. I don't have all the statistics for 2019 in here. I have some of them. So if you look at the left, system trades, 30, you can see things, you know, a lot of years, 35 to 36, 40 trades, 38 this year so far. 2017, there was only 22 trades. That was the lowest statistical gains for the system. That was also the least volatile year in 100 years for the S&P 500. So you didn't have many trade opportunities. So that just makes logical sense to you. Show the number of ES and SPY trades. You can see, you know, they're very similar. You know, 2016, there was 21 of the trades were ES, 19 would have been SPY, for example, you know. Now, longs and shorts, I show that. You can see you do have shorts. People have asked me, do the system short? You can see it there. There's shorts, okay? These years, obviously, it's been doing more longs. We've been in a bull market, okay? Number of total entries, that counts if there's a second entry or third entry. So when I say system trades, say 2014, it says 35. You know, 17 of those were one entry, 14 were two entries, one was a third entry, and one was a fifth entry. So if you total them up, there's 59 total entries. So I hope that makes sense. But here's probably where you're a little more interested in the stats. So percent gain, for example, look at your total gain. 2014, your $20,000, you'd have made $26,000. So you'd have made 132%. 2015, you'd have made 170%. 2016, you'd have made 197%, doubled your money. 2017, again, that was the lowest volatility year. You only had 22 trades. In fact, you only had one double entry trade. So you didn't have a lot of trade opportunities. You made 24%. 2018, you made 44,800 or 225% on your money. Okay. And this year, it's something like 90%. I don't have the statistics ready to show here, but that's about what it looks like before I compile it. Okay. And that's not compounding. So I'm not taking and adding more trades. All this is doing is one entry, one contract for for the first entry, two contracts for the second entry, three contracts for a third entry. You know, the breakouts we do, we double it though. Okay. Percent capital utilization, you can look. You know, 2018, 25% of the capital. So if you look here, so what I'm referencing by that is reference the $20,000. So if you had $20,000, for example, in 2014, your average utilization, you'd have been using about 20% of that only. Okay. Or about, you know, a little over $4,000. The rest of you'd have had cash. Max capital utilization for 2014 would have been just over 14,000. So you just still had almost 6,000 left free to trade. Okay. My goal here was not to use all the capital, all right, but to give a rough estimate of what percentage you can expect. You know, same way for 2018, you used, you know, over 14,000 at the max capital. So average drawdowns, max drawdown, et cetera. But again, you can see the returns. So that gives you an example of the returns we might be able to see with the combined SPY and ES systems options on the website if I bring this product, okay? Some other things I'm looking to do. I may add some other statistics here. And again, remember, guys, here I'm just showing you relative to 20,000 because I think that's a good number, you know, if you wanted to trade it. You could trade it, obviously, with a little less, you know, but you couldn't go really below 15,000, it looks like. And obviously, you know, you could trade whatever larger amount you wanted to relative to your risk tolerance, okay? One other thing, someone is probably going to ask me, well, what could we expect to return? How much capital would we need if we just were to trade the ETFs, SPY, SSO, and UPRO? I have not compiled that data. I probably will shortly. Obviously, it's going to be less than the options. Remember, you get a lot more bang for your buck on the options. Oh, that's another thing. If you look at max number of entries in the middle of the table, so that's where you have system overlap. So for example, 2014, you had a time when when the systems were in 13 total entries. Okay. 2018, you had a time when 12 max entries at one time. In 2017, you had four only. Now, when I say max entries, you know, that might have only been for a few days typically. Okay. And again, if you needed to save capital, you know, you could do something where, you know, you didn't do all the entries. You know, you say, well, I'm going to do a max of 8 entries or something. That's kind of up to you, but I'm just showing you all the entries. Anyway, hope this helps, just showing you what the statistics look like. And if I do bring this product to the website, guys, remember Breakpoint Trades is a business. I may add this. I'm not sure. I haven't made up my mind yet. It may be a separate product, like a separate membership. We may give a new membership with a higher price. I just don't know yet, but it will probably be some sort of add-on. Okay. Again, if it's going to return these kind of gains, I don't think anyone should bitch about that. You know, you can really bitch about, you know, $50, $90 a month. You know, if the thing's returning 100 to 200% a year, I doubt it. Okay. All right. That's enough of that. Again, I'll fill you in as I have more, but the data looks pretty impressive. Let's move on. So let's move on to the rest of the newsletter here. So item number 7 shows the index sector table, what transpired last week. Again, guys, nothing's changed. The uptrend remains in the market, okay? Market's been uptrending here for the last month. It's done well during earnings seasons, which it typically does, okay? That's what I said a month ago. I said, you know, there's a lot of bears out there, but I said, guys, market typically does well in earnings seasons, and that's exactly what it's done this time. Now, again, we do have some extreme bullish sentiment readings, so we may be due for a pullback. VIX is near a support area, so be aware of that. But we are uptrending, so, you know, price remains up. But just have to be prudent, keep your stops in place, have a plan. You can see last week, major indexes up anywhere from 1.2 to 0.6%. As far as the market sectors, most were up. We did see a few down sectors, real estate down 3.2%, home builders down 2.8%, and GDX, the gold miners, down 6.3%. Utilities down 3.8%. Again, actually, those are sectors you'd expect to see rotation out of, and that's what we're seeing. Okay. Currency-wise, U.S. dollar had a big week, up 1.2%. That didn't help the precious metals, which if we skip down to those, gold down 3.6%, silver down 7.2%, GDX down 6.3%. Big correction last week in the precious metals. As far as other commodities, crude oil up 1.8%, natural gas up 2.7%, corn down 3%. Coffee had another big week, up 4.4%. It's had a really nice last month, big rally. As far as bonds, high yield corporate just up a smidget. TLT 20-year continues down. That's helped the market. Next. Image number 8 below. This shows you the economic news calendar for this week. And guys, earnings below. Remember, we're through a lot of earnings and the market's done well on that, but we're starting to wind down on that. So be aware of that. All right, moving on to the index charts. First chart below, item number 9, shows you the monthly chart of the major indexes. Again, it's still fairly early November, so this could change, obviously. But you can see we did find support near the middle Bollinger Bands last month. Now we're up near the upper Bollinger Bands. Market indexes are basically at new highs here, except for the Russell at the bottom. The Russell here is not plotting. I need to change that with IWM. That's actually not at new highs. Next. Chart 10, here's a weekly view of the major indexes. Once again, I need to add the rut at the bottom. Missing that. Need to change that with IWM. But you can see the other indexes broke out of these consolidation patterns 2 to 3 weeks ago, and they continue nicely higher. Look at the S&P and Dow. They're up now above their upper Bollinger Bands. The Dow, you know, is up testing its upper Bollinger Bands as well. You know, these indexes, except for the Russell, are at new highs. Next. Chart 11, here's the daily view of the 5 key major indexes. Now, this one has the IWM at the bottom in place of the Russell. So I need to do that with the weekly and monthly charts above. Apologize for that. I just noticed that while I was recording. But you can see, again, we busted out of these patterns a couple weeks ago, and we made new highs, you know, obviously, except for the rut. Now, the rut did break out, but it's been finding support at the broken resistance trend line here, which is now support. Again, guys, we're uptrending. We're over the 9 EMA. We've been above the 9 EMA since early October. So nothing to say about it, guys. You know, we are uptrending. We are getting overbought. We have extreme sentiment levels, but, you know, it doesn't mean you just short that. You need some sort of trigger. If you're long excessively and you're not able to sell those longs to take a profit, you know, you could always hedge your longs with maybe some inverse ETFs or a VIX ETF. Next, chart 12. Here's a monthly view of the S&P. Again, really no changes. We've been showing this for a while. Steve's been showing this potential wedge-like pattern. So that's something to take note of, as well as the MACD lag. Now, I will say the MACD is interesting here. So the MACD does have this big potential monthly divergence, right? But also, the MACD crossed to the upside a few months ago, which can be bullish if it's, you know, as long as it stays above there. So I talked about that a couple weeks ago. Let's move on to that. So image number 13 below, this is what I showed a couple weeks ago. You can see from the source. Now, so what they did is they compiled when the monthly MACD had been negative for at least 6 months. The MACD had been below its signal line or MACD histogram, whatever you want. It's the same thing. And when you had a cross, that typically was bullish, especially 1 to 1.5 to 2 years out. Okay. If you can look at the data here. And so the MACD did cross a few months ago. So that is one thing to take notice of. Next. Image number 14. Now here's the S&P back in the current Mac S&P, and I also show you the PPO, which is a very similar indicator of the MACD. So again, you can see, you know, price was under, MACD was under there for 9 bars. So that met the statistics above, and it crossed here a while ago. So could this be super bullish longer term? It's possible. Okay. The one thing I will note is that we still have a divergence. While the MACD still has a divergence where the MACD is lower than it was late last year, that's still in the back of my head. Okay. But, you know, so be aware of that. That would be the negative. But again, you know, it is a positive that the MACD did cross, you know, on the monthly charts a while back. Next. Chapter 15. Here's the S&P back in late 90s. So again, that would be my concern in the market where the MACD doesn't form a new high and then price were to roll over. You know, we have been in a bull market for a long time. So again, guys, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the longer term. Next, chapter 16. Here's a weekly view of the S&P. We continue marching higher. Steve drew a wedge-like pattern. That is something to note. You know, price goes higher. Maybe we tag the upper trend line of the wedge. We are S&P is near 3,100. It hasn't hit that area. I would think that that's a nice psychological round number. Wouldn't be surprised the S&P at least hits 3,100 in the short term. Next, chapter 17. Here's a daily view of the S&P again. Uptrending strongly here since October, holding above the 90 EMA. The trend is strongly up, obviously. Okay. No divergence here, just a little overbought. Your 90 EMA is your short-term support, guys. All right. It's pretty much that simple. The round number of 3,100 is just above. Market likes those round numbers. Maybe we want to tag that, would be my guess. Next. Chapter 18, here's another daily view. This one has two moving average ribbons. I kind of like to keep an eye on both ribbons. Nothing obviously new here. Trend is up. Next. Chapter 19, here's a daily S&P with our pivots. The next pivot resistance is up there at 3105. So again, that could be a logical target to the upside. Market likes to tag these pivots as support and resistance. Next, chapter 20, here's a daily S&P with our custom indicators. Obviously, no changes there. The ATR trailing stop, that's a good guide for support. That's up at 30, 35, 40 now. You can see that. The BPTMA deluxe indicators have been green one since mid-September, one since early October. They're nice trend indicators. All the other indicators are positive below. Next. Chapter 21, here's a 60 or a two-hour view of the S&P with the same indicators. I like how tight the ATR trailing stop is on this time frame. You can see you got it all the way at 30, 70, 83. So if you've been long, you could have been riding this uptrend since early October with the ATR trailing stop as a guide. Okay. One thing I will point out, look at the 60 stochastics below. It's been above 80% for a long time. It's now... That is a big area to monitor. When that finally breaks the 80%, that could be a big warning. Next. Chapter 22, here's a two-hour view of the S&P. Again, very simple chart. You know, a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, market was pausing up near that resistance area, but I said it looked bullish. It broke through that area, held that 1330 as support, which was previous resistance back in July. You know, that's just standard technical analysis. You break resistance, it becomes support. We've been uptrending here. Again, a very simple way, guys, to stay in an uptrend, move your stops up to each successive high or low, okay? So you see here, you could have a stop right here or maybe even at, you know, Friday's low, last Thursday's low, whatever. You could see you could have had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 higher lows. Could have been long here since October, moving your stop up all these times. And you can see the past. You could have done the same thing back there in September. You'd have been stopped out and been out of that crash in October. You could have done the same thing in the summer time frame. You could have been stopped out there in early August and avoided that big sell-off in August. So that's a way to ride trends using the higher lows. Very simple guide, guys. Next. Chapter 23 is another two-hour view. This one has two of the moving average ribbons I like to monitor, a fast one and a slower one. One thing I'll point out, take a look at these the 60 stochastic below, which I talked about above. Again, you can see it's been above that 80 for quite a while. Keep an eye on that. You know, so generally it only stays above there for so long. When it finally breaks it, that could be a warning at a correction. Next. Chapter 24, here's the 60-minute view, has the moving average ribbon, which has obviously been nicely bullish since early October. Pullbacks here, the largest pullbacks have been about 30 points. That's something to monitor for symmetry. Again, market continues to uptrend, really no changes. So that does it for the S&P, guys. Let's move on and look at the other indexes. Trevor 25, here's the Dow weekly view. You know, we busted through a little pattern here. You know, we're uptrending on a longer-term basis. Nothing new to say. Next, Trevor 26, here's the daily view. Again, we took out that resistance a couple weeks ago. You know, made new highs. We are quite extended with the little doji candlesticks here in the short term. Next, Trevor 27, triple Qs. Up once again for the week. Next, Trevor 28, triple Qs on the daily again. Continue to push strongly higher here. We took out resistance here a couple weeks ago and have just held the 9 EMA. Now, I will say volume's declining a bit on this volume or this move. Take note, we have had a big move. Market may be new for a short-term correction soon. Next, Trevor 19 or 29, IWM, Russell 2000 weekly view. Been showing this pattern, consolidation pattern here most of the year. Finally trying to break to the upside out of this pattern. That's actually bullish for the market longer term. Next, Trevor 30, here's the daily view. Of course, Russell broke through here a couple weeks ago. Run up a little higher, pulled back so far, finding support near the 9 EMA. Again, remember, a lot of people were super bullish back in August. You could see IWM had a little bear trap there, broke below that support briefly, came right back. That's why you got to be careful of shorting horizontal breakdowns, guys. And anyway, Russell lagging all year, but it's come back quite a bit. Finally, Trevor 31. Here's a 60-minute view. Nice, clean view. Notice in the short term on the Russell, there's a coil forming here. So if we have another pop to the upside, it wouldn't surprise me. But on the next pop, maybe watch for some MACD divergence. I also added symmetry here. Largest pullback in this uptrend since October has been about $3.10. Okay. You can also see the moving average ribbon has been a really good guide. But short-term coiling does look like it wants to break to the upside here. But again, one more upside break, I'd be wary of some divergence on the MACD. So that does it for the indexes, guys. All right, let's look at some key indicators. Trevor 32, here's the VIX. As I stated in the opening comments, one thing that worries me in the short term, the VIX is now near its lower Bollinger Bands. Historically, it's always found support at it. Take a look at the last year and a half back. Every time it's gotten down there, it's bounced off of it. Again, sometimes it's only bounced off of it, goes up market, you know, and then the market, you know, just pulls back for a day or two, and then the market, you know, goes up and makes another high. You know, that's what happened February, March, and April. It would tag it, bounce off of it, and the market would push higher. But it is near here, so in the very short term, it is something to watch. Also, notice your Bollinger Bands are starting to pinch here. They're starting to compress. Next, Trevor 33, here's the CNN Fear-Greed Index. This also concerns me a bit. Things are obviously lopsided. They can remain that way for a while. But, you know, 91% now. So you have a lot of lopsided bulls on one side. You know, back there in August, guys, market had extreme fear readings. And lo and behold, the market bottomed and rallied. Okay. So we have the other extreme here now. Next, Trevor 34, here's the PMO system. Some of you use this for a system to be long the market. And this went long back in early October. No changes. You consider to stay long. Have a stop at the last higher low. You know, maybe a wide stop would be 30.25, where I see, show via the purple dotted lines. Okay. The For this to exit, you need the indicator to either go below 66% or take out the last higher low. Next, Trevor 35, here's the BPSPX system. Same deal. This went on a buy signal on October 11th, and so far it's doing well. Next, Trevor 36, here's the put-call ratio. It's back at the 0.94%, but you can see it's had a couple big spike downs lately to 0.65. We haven't seen that since January 2018. Next, Trevor 37, here's the Bulls and Bears. You could see bullishness starting to come back. But also, guys, on the flip side, you could see how bearish people were back in late September. The number of bears here were quite extreme on the market bottom there. Next, chapter 38. Here's a comparison chart of the S&P and high-yield corporate bonds. The two tend to move together. Whenever divergences form, you want to keep an eye on that. We do have a slight divergence here in high-yield corporate and S&P, so keep an eye on that. All right, let's move to bonds. Chapter 39, weekly view of bonds, TLT, down 4%. Big correction. So as the markets moved higher, bonds have moved lower, which is what you'd expect. Okay. Bonds formed a lower high after that big sell-off back in August, September, broke symmetry, formed a lower high. Bonds tend to do this as well, guys. Bonds tend to go parabolic and then top out, kind of like they did back there in August. There is, however, a big support level approaching around the 132 area, 132.50. You see that? May try to find some support there. Next, chart 40, here's the daily view. Again, nice big correction since the August timeframes. There is some big support, though, approaching in the 133, 134 area. Next, chart 41, high-yield corporate continues to uptrend as well. This tends to be highly correlated with the general market. Obviously, keep an eye on it, guys. If this starts to break down, that would be a warning sign in the market. It's holding for now. Next, chapter 42, here's the weekly view. Next, chapter 43, here's the yield curve. I haven't showed this for a while. There was a lot of recession worries, and I still have some recession worries myself in the future. But you see, this had a big rally over the last few months. Off that one, that ratio one area. This is the official yield curve, the 10-year and 2-year. This never went negative, actually. Next, chart 44. Here's the other yield curve that people talk about. This is the 10-year and 3-month. Okay, and this did go negative for quite a few months, as you see. It's back positive here. Now, what I'd watch here is if it were to flip back negative quickly, to me, that'd be a warning. But for now, these are back positive. Okay. Haven't discussed these for a while. That's why I wanted to show them. All right, moving on. Going to quickly cover the sectors, market index sectors, since it is the weekend. Not seeing a lot here. Things got quite overbought, you know, but really no big changes. IYT here, you can see a hot rallied off that big support all year, all those four bounces. Quite, you know, shooting star on Thursday, quite overbought, you know, so maybe due for a pullback here soon. Next, chart 46, the bank, same deal, big uptrend, maybe getting a little overbought, but obviously everything's been uptrending, guys. Next, chart 47, XLF financials. Same deal, really nothing new to say, you know, just a little overbought. Next, chapter 48, technology. This moves with a lot of the tech area. This is obviously doing well, that ascending triangle is playing out. Next, chapter 49, semiconductor, same deal. This ascending triangle playing out. It's actually nearing its measured move, so I would be aware of that. Maybe we get a pullback soon on that. Next, chapter 50, XLC, communications sector. Remember, that contains three of those FANG stocks. You could see it's finding some resistance at the highs here. You know, you could have a potential double top up in there, so be aware of that. Next, chart 51, consumer staples. It's been going sideways here. If it were to lose that lower support, that would be a bearish breakdown. But if it can curl up, you could have an ascending triangle with resistance up at 61.60. Next, chapter 52, industrials. Again, a little overbought. It's been uptrending. But, you know, it is a little overbought here. Really not much else to say besides that. Next, chapter 53, real estate. This has been pulling back nicely. Some money has been rotating out of this sector. You can see that trend line break. Moving averages above are now resistance. Next, chapter 54, home builders. Could see it's pulling back basically at a double top. Interest rates have been bouncing here a bit, so that's been negatively hurting the real estate area. Next, chapter 55, here's the daily view. Next, chapter 56, retail, little pullback here. There is some MACD divergence here. I don't have it drawn, but again, just so far hold the 90 EMA. Next, chapter 57, energy. This has been jumping around lately. It's obviously nowhere near the highs like all the other indexes are. It's been lagging because of the energy market. You can see it's pulled back some off the 200-day moving average so far. Next, chapter 58, oil services, same deal. This one's been super weak. Had a double bottom bounce in October, but again, just take a look at this relative to the other market indexes, sectors. Next, chapter 59, biotech, nice bounce on Friday off the 20-day moving average there. Got resistance right here. Next, chapter 60, healthcare. This has been uptrending nicely. Bull flagged last week, bounced off the 90 EMA. And finally, chapter 61, utilities. I pointed out this double top a few weeks ago, and it's had a nice pullback since. We've seen money rotate out of this into the other sectors. And the fact that the interest rates have been moving higher, bonds have been moving lower, has caused this rotation. All right, moving on to commodities. Chapter 62, crude oil. This is essentially what crude oil has been doing. It's really been just consolidating, fleshing out this big triangle type consolidation pattern, you know, since May, honestly. That's really the best way to look at it. Still may need quite a bit more time to flesh this pattern out before it's complete. Next, chapter 63, here's the daily view. Shows you the same pattern as the weekly. Next, chapter 64, copper. Again, broke out of the little downtrend channel 3 weeks ago. Slight follow through. You can see it found resistance last week at the 50-week MA. Next, chapter 65, there's the daily view. Also found resistance initially here at the 200-day moving average. Next, chapter 66, coffee monthly view up 10.7% for the week. Back in early part of this year, I pointed out the major support on coffee, and boy, that was a good long area. Bounced off of there and is moving nicely higher again. Next, chapter 67, here's the daily view of the tradable ETF. Look at that rally the last few weeks off that double bottom. Man, I missed that. I wish I bought that. That was a heck of a long trade. All right, moving on. Chapter 68, U.S. dollar weekly view up 1.2%. No changes, guys. Continues to uptrend basically in this channel that would have been showing all year long. Next, chapter 69, here's the daily view. Bounced off support last week. I will notice your moving average ribbon. It is pinching here on the other side. So that is something to note where you may find some resistance. Let's move to precious metals. Chapter 70, gold. Down 3.2%. Again, guys, I think our calls on precious metals have been outstanding. We were bullish back in May and June. Gold had a heck of a rally. It rallied up to my resistance area in August, and that's where it stopped. Okay. And it's had a nice correction here, and it's still correcting. And you know what? I think it still has lower to go before it's bottomed. Next. Chapter 71, here's another weekly view. This is one reason why this correction has been taking so long. The commercial net short got very extreme at 338,000. In fact, it hit 345 at the highs. Okay, that's extreme, guys. It's not the highest it's ever been, but it's the second or third highest. And it takes time for that to work off. And it hasn't been working off that much. In fact, it's still 317,000. Okay? That's why we've been warning you guys that this correction in the precious metals is going to take longer than you might think. And so far, we've been right. Next, chapter 72, here's the daily view. Gold, you can see the top in August had the MACD divergence. It then had a coil pattern. It broke to the downside last week. okay? Maybe now, maybe it needs to go down near the 200-day moving average. Maybe that's the bottom area. And in fact, if it can get down to there, I think it could be a good swing long. I think the commercial net shorts will be, the excesses will be worked off finally. Next, chapter 73, here's the weekly view of silver. Look at that correction. It's down 6.8% for the week. Hell of a correction. Next, chapter 74, daily view. Broke that triangle to the downside as well. 200-day moving average looks like it's coming. Again, silver had that parabolic blow off top in early September, and that was the big warning, guys. Parabolic blow-offs don't end well, and we can see that. Next, chapter 75, here's another daily view. Shows you the same thing, but here's another thing, guys. Look how wide the moving average ribbon was back there in early September. When it gets too wide, the excesses need to work off, and that's what we've been seeing. Moving to the stocks. Chapter 76, weekly view of GDX. It stopped at the 2016 highs. Double top, okay? So I hope you guys sold GDX or your metal stocks back then. But I do think eventually get a nice swing trade opportunity, but I think we need to see more lower prices first. Okay, moving average ribbon, look how wide it was there. It's still kind of wide. Look how tightly pinched it was back there in May. That was the time to buy it. Next, chapter 77, here's the daily view. You know, this is one thing I've been postulating, sell off. You can see we broke the triangle to the downside. Maybe we get near the 200-day moving average. Maybe that'd be a great long area. Next, chapter 78, another daily view shows you the same thing. This one has some moving average ribbons. You can see how the moving average was bearishly stacked last time. Next, chapter 79, 2-hour view. There is a little double bottom here, but you know, we'll see if it finds some support or not. Next, chapter 80, here's a 60-minute view of GDX. You can see it on this time frame. Some nice little examples. You had a little double bottom back in October. They need a double top there in late October and a sell-off since. Look at your moving average ribbon. That was a good guide as well. Next, chapter 81, GDXJ weekly view, very similar to GDX. You can see how it sold off from that high. Finally, chapter 82, GDXGLD chart. This shows you the two moving average ribbons, which are bearish. This is the chart I'll be monitoring as well. So there you go, guys. A lot to cover, but you know, hope you all appreciate it, and we'll see what happens. Talk to you later. Have a good rest of your evening and week. Thanks.